We have been doing a series, and if we could just show you the PowerPoint, called Mind Over Matter. And the strap line for the series is this: what's on your mind changes everything that matters. And so we've been thinking about how we think and how that affects our lives. And today we're going to think about a mind focus on God. And we're going to use what is probably one of my favorite verses in the Bible, which says this: above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. And this is found in Proverbs chapter 4. And I just want to read some of the rest of the chapter, just to give you the context. It was written by Solomon, and he was speaking to his sons about wisdom and the importance of being wise. And in fact, he talks about wisdom and describes wisdom as a woman, which is obviously apt because we know that women are much wiser than men. So let's just see what Solomon wrote. He said this: my son, pay attention to what I say. Listen closely to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to a man's whole body. Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Put away perversity from your mouth. Keep corrupt talk far from your lips. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Make level paths for your feet, and take only ways that are firm. Do not swerve to the right or the left. Keep your foot from evil. It's the internet is with us, isn't it? And been with us for a number of years. And, you know, the internet is great, but actually it has made us quite vulnerable. Have you thought about that? Many years ago, when we started using the net, we used to set up accounts and we were asked for passwords. And it didn't really matter what you put in. You could put in just a single character. You could put in three characters. For example, you could just put in the word ham and that would be your password. But life has got much more complicated, isn't it? Because now, although the password, the organizations, they ask for a character and a number and a capital letter. And life has got so complicated. And when you don't put the right password in, it says, oh, that's weak, and you have to think about it again, and then you get it wrong, and then you have to kind of ask for a hint, and it asks you what's your mother's maiden name, what's your favorite pet called, and life gets very complicated. It was much simpler years ago, but it's interesting, isn't it? Because what they're trying to do is they are trying to protect what you have. They're trying to protect what you have. So in your bank account, you may be asked for all kinds of characters and numbers, and they may send you a text. But you see, they're trying to guard what is important to you. And we do that, don't we? We talk about identity theft. And, you know, that's important that we need to keep our identity safe. And you think about your home. I was filling out the insurance renewal quote the other day, and it started to ask me about what kind of locks I had on my front door, how many mortise locks there were and what kind of locks. It gave me some pictures and I found it actually quite confusing. But they're saying, you know, we need to protect your home because there's some important stuff in it. We all have cars and we never leave them unlocked. We want to keep them safe. Of course, most importantly, we keep our family safe. If we have children, we want to keep them safe. We have pets and we want to keep ourselves also safe from the virus that is around, because we protect and guard things that are really precious to us. And what Solomon is saying to his sons is actually what you need to do is you need to guard your heart. And we're going to look at that this morning, because actually the heart is so important. Our hearts are so important. And I think what Solomon is saying to us is really, really important. Now, we think about Solomon. It is said that Solomon was the wisest man who ever lived, because Solomon was asked by God what he wanted. And he didn't choose wealth. He didn't choose a long life. He said, make me wise. And God gave him great wisdom. So we're hearing from a person who is extremely wise, but we're also hearing from the word of God. And I want us to listen to this morning to the words of Solomon, to the word of God, and see what it says to us, because our hearts are so precious and we need to guard them and we need to protect them. Because what Solomon's saying is actually, if you want a long and fulfilling life, you need to guard your heart. So we're going to think about that this morning. And I'm going to try and unpack what Solomon says. There are three things I want to say, and they are all very simple. Because firstly, he says, above all else. And if we start to think what's important in life to us, I wonder how we would list things. And I'm sure we would want to start with our family. You know, our family are key. They are so important to us. We would then think about perhaps where we live and the possessions we have. Or maybe the work that we did. But what Solomon is saying to his sons is, above all else. So he's actually saying that actually your heart should be your number one priority. It's more important than your bank account. It's more important than the role you fulfill, the ministry you have. It's more important than your home. It is the thing that we need to guard above all else. What is your heart? It's been described as this. The heart is a mysterious spiritual reality that allows us to experience the fullness of life. It includes emotions, but the heart is not limited to emotions. According to Scripture, the heart can be grieved, troubled, broken, pierced, divided, and joyful. The commentator Charles Ryrie described the heart as the very core of life. And I think that just kind of sums up its importance, that actually we need to think about our hearts today. We are so encouraged, aren't we, to think about our physical hearts and the health that we should have. And we're encouraged to eat certain things and have a certain diet so that we keep our hearts strong. But what Solomon is saying is this is something you need to consider above all else. And the second thing he says is you need to guard your heart. Guard your heart. Ted Tripp, the Christian leader, talks about the heart being the control center for life. The control center for life. And so often today, we kind of try and separate our head knowledge and our heart knowledge. But when we read the Bible, actually the heart and mind are very often linked very closely together. Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And what he was saying was actually with all of you, all that you have. Heart and mind sometimes need to be together. And what goes into our minds will actually affect our hearts. So do you look after your physical heart? Are you having a low-fat diet? Do you hydrate regularly? Do you exercise for 30 minutes, 5 times a week? To raise your heart rate? Do you sleep well? Do you lower your blood pressure by reducing stress? Are those what we do for our physical heart? But what are we actually doing to guard our hearts, the core of our very being? And I want you to think about that this morning. What are you doing to guard your heart? What do you do in life that affects your heart? Now, what Solomon does, this verse is kind of in the middle of a section. But in verse 24, he talks about something that we should not be doing. He says in verse 24, put away perversity from your mouth. Keep corrupt talk far from your lips. And what he's saying is actually, if you want to guard your heart, there are things you need to do. And the first thing he says is you need to put away perversity from your mouth. And he's saying, actually, what you speak out does come from the heart, but it also affects our heart. In James chapter 3, James talks about the tongue. He says this, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue is also a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of life on fire, and itself set on fire by hell. And he goes on to talk about how we speak. And I just wanted for you to think about the words that you say. Are they words that build people up? What have you said this week that's really helped someone, which has really encouraged somebody? What have you said this week that's really put people down and maybe destroyed something in somebody's life? Have you been cursing this week? Have you used words that, you know, if you were to be in church, you would not be using? Have you used your words this week to thank, praise God? Have you sung his praises? Have you spoken out how great he is, maybe to other people? Very conscious we've been praying for young people, and young people are very prone to peer pressure, and they want to fit in. But actually, sometimes as adults, we want to fit in, and we use language around other people who perhaps aren't Christians because we want to fit in. How does that affect our hearts? Because it flows out of our mouths, but also, I believe it goes into our hearts. What flows out of me? Is there worship? Is there blessing? What he says, Solomon says, is put away perversity from your mouth. Keep corrupt talk from your lips. Very clear instructions about how we should speak. But he goes on to talk about what we see. In verse 25, he says, let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. You see, what happens is what goes into our through our eyes goes into our mind and goes into our hearts. Jesus said this, the eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? And so what Jesus is saying is what goes through our eyes will go into our minds and into our hearts. And again, we have to question, well, what do we think about? What do we look at? What are we taking in to our minds? What do we focus on? Are there things that are good and helpful and will build us up as people? Or are there things that are destructive? Are we just looking at stuff on television and on the internet that is so unhelpful to our hearts and minds? See, what we focus on, I believe we will become. The question is, what I focus on, is it helpful? Is it holy? Is it helping my spiritual life or is it hindering? Does this build up my faith? Philippians 4, Paul writes to the Philippians and says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. And so he's saying to them very clearly, think about things that are going to bless you, that are going to feed your heart in a really positive way. There are things that we can look at which will really be positive, but there are things that we look at that can be so negative. And I think we've probably experienced that through lockdown, that some of us have spent time and we've been able to focus on God and it's been really positive. And maybe others of us have been struggling because our mind has taken us to places and we've been looking at things that are so not helpful. So we need to think about what we say, but also what we see. And lastly, Solomon says, make level paths for your feet. This is verse 26. Take only ways that are firm. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Keep your foot from evil. And so he said to his son, you know, actually life is a journey. And we need to think about where we are going in that journey. Are we walking with God? Are we taking paths that are straight, that are going to be level? Are they going to take us to the right place? Or are we wandering maybe away from God? And only you can answer that. You know, maybe on the outside you look great and everything is fine, but perhaps within your heart you know that actually things aren't right. And Solomon challenges his sons to walk in a godly way, to follow God. And Jesus gives that lovely analogy, doesn't he, that he is the good shepherd and that we are to follow him. But maybe some of us, we are off on our own. As some of you know, we have a 15-week-old border collie, and he is lovely. But one of the things that really stresses me is when we let him off the lead, because my fear is that he is just going to run. Obviously, living with us is like dog heaven, but maybe he thinks there's something better somewhere else. And on Friday, we took a walk up to Farley Wallop, and we walked in the woods, and we said, let's let him off the lead. And I tell you, my stress levels went off the limit, because I was thinking, he's just going to run, you know, and I'm going to be running around the field chasing this with this border collie. But actually, the wonderful thing was he did go off on his own. But he came back with a bit of encouragement and a bag full of treats. But I'm just so worried he's just going to wander off and disappear. And I just think for some of us, maybe we are in that place where we are perhaps wandering away from God. And we know that our lives are not as they should be or what they could be. And maybe this morning, as we're talking about hearts, this is really touching you because you know that your heart is not as it should be and that you have wandered from God. It just reminds you of the prodigal son who went and spent all his inheritance on wine, women, and song and ended up in a pigsty feeding pigs. And then the scripture says this, when he came to his senses. And I think maybe this morning, some of us, we do need to come to our senses and realize that actually God is calling us back. And that the words of Solomon are true. If we want to live a life that is fulfilling, then we have to guard our hearts. And we need to walk in a way that is godly and holy. The last thing that Solomon says is that we are to, above all else, guard our hearts because it is the wellspring of life. It is the wellspring of life. And I don't know what kind of life you're experiencing at the moment, but perhaps some of us, we feel actually very dry within our lives, within our hearts. Maybe our hearts have become cold or empty. And here is Solomon saying, well, actually, your life can have this wellspring, this kind of river flowing through it. And let's remember that the context was this hot country, the Middle East, where everything was so dry. And Solomon was saying, you can have this wellspring. You've got it within your heart. You need to protect it because it will give you life in abundance. And we see that picture very clearly demonstrated by in John chapter 7 by Jesus. When on the last and the greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood up and said in a loud voice, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him. By this, he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. And so Jesus says, actually, you can have this spring within you, this spring of living water that will bring you life and energy. It will bring you hope and joy and peace. I wonder if that is your experience. Because maybe if it's not, there needs to be some work done within your heart to cleanse it and to clear it. I've used this illustration before. It's a lovely illustration. It's called The Keeper of the Spring. It is a story that the late Peter Marshall loved to tell. And he talks about a quiet forest dweller who lived high in the Austrian Alps. And this elderly gentleman was hired by a young town council to clear away debris from the pools of water in the mountain crevices so that the lovely spring water could flow through into the town. And so faithfully and regularly, he patrolled the hills. He removed the leaves and branches and wiped away from the silt that would have choked and contaminated the fresh flow of water. And soon the village becomes very popular. There are holidaymakers, there are graceful swans floating along the crystal clear spring, the mill wheels of various businesses are turning, and the farmlands are naturally irrigated. And the view from the restaurants was so picturesque, it was beyond description. And so years passed, and one evening the town council met for its semi-annual meeting. They reviewed the budget, and one man looked at this salary that was being paid to the obscure keeper of the spring. The treasurer said, who is this old man? Why do we keep him on year after year? No one ever sees him. For all we know, he's doing us no good. He isn't necessary any longer. And so the unanimous vote was to dispense with the old man's services. And so for several weeks, nothing changed. By early autumn, the trees began to shed their leaves. Small branches snapped off and fell into the pools, hindering the rushing flow of sparkling water. And one afternoon, someone noticed a slightly yellowish-brown tint in the spring. A few days later, the water was much darker. Within a week, a slimy film covered sections of the water along the bank, and a foul odor was soon detected. The mill wheels moved more slowly. Some finally ground to a halt. Swans left, as did the tourists. The clammy fingers of disease and sickness reached deeply into the village. And quickly, the embarrassed council called a special meeting. Realizing their gross error in judgment, they rehired the old keeper of the spring. And within a few weeks, the veritable river of life began to clear up. The wheels started to turn, and new life returned to the hamlet in the Alps. A great picture, isn't it, of actually a spring becoming blocked and unable to flow. And as God's people, we have been given the spring, the Holy Spirit within us. And my question to you this morning, is that spring flowing? Or are there things that are actually stopping it? Because Solomon calls it the wellspring of life. And when it becomes blocked, then our lives become dirty. And we become ineffective for God. And we don't experience all the wonderful things that the Holy Spirit wants to give us. When we are dry, maybe we're empty and life is not what it should be, we just need to hear the words of Jesus again, because he says, come to me if anyone is thirsty. I wonder when the last time you had your heart checked. For most of us, things are probably good. But this morning, what's the condition of your heart before God? What are the things that perhaps you need to do, or maybe you need to change? Because Solomon says, and God says, above all else, guard your hearts, because it's the wellspring of life. Maybe for us today, we need to change our diet. We need to start exercising. We need to find a balance in life. We need to change our diet so that we are taking good things into our hearts. We're feeding on the word of God. We're listening to the Holy Spirit. We are praying. We're spending time with God's people online, probably at the moment. We need to exercise. We need to be sharing our faith with others. And we need to be walking in the ways that God has called us to walk. Because our hearts are so important. It affects who we are and everything we do. My prayer this morning is that we will hear the word of God and we will respond by giving God our hearts and asking for his cleansing and asking that the river of life might flow through us. We're going to spend some time worshiping together. We're going to sing a song which is called The Goodness of God. And in this song, it just allows us to recognize that God is so good, that he has blessed us in so many ways. But also the song and the words just allow us to give ourselves afresh to him. So let's worship together.